I want you to be finding your Bibles with me this morning to the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We've been preaching for a number of weeks now on the thought of bread, heaven's bread. With this thought, especially in view, the bread is ready. That means it is available unto you and unto me. We've seen heaven's bread, true bread. The true bread been sent down from heaven, Christ said of himself. We meditated upon wonder bread. The Lord took that lad's lunch and went to breaking those scrawny barley loaves, and one loaf became two loaves, and two loaves became four loaves, and on and on and on. It was an all-you-could-eat buffet. The bread was ready. It was available unto them. We meditated upon gathered bread. The Lord sent manna down from heaven. It was there for the gathering. And those that gathered were sustained. They had bread. They had substance there. We meditated upon shared bread. That prodigal, remember, went off and found himself in the hog pen, in the pig pen, longing even for the husk that the swine would eat. But he remembered that his father's servants had bread to spare. But better than that, his father had bread to share. He would share with servants, and he surely would share with his son. And when he got back to the house, he didn't get any spared bread. No, he got shared bread. He got all that the father had. Last Sunday morning, we meditated upon crumbs of bread. When that Syrophoenician woman got honest about who she was. And when she got honest about who he was, oh my, she was able to get a crumb from his table, and she already realized that a crumb from his table would be enough to meet her need. And hallelujah, I'm glad this morning you and I don't have to settle for a crumb. You can get the whole loaf this morning. Bread is ready, and bread is available unto you this morning. But this morning, from the greatest sermon ever preached, by the greatest preacher that's ever preached, our Lord himself, here in Matthew chapter 5, a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, I want us to consider just one verse and meditate today upon satisfying bread. Christ says here in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now you know these verses of the Beatitudes, and several years ago we preached through each of them one at a time, so I'm not going to take time to reintroduce those to you this morning there, but I will remind you that all of these Beatitudes give us the qualities that mark a true believer. You walk down the Beatitudes and you don't find these attitudes in your life, that ought to be a red flag unto you. In fact, you walk down through these Beatitudes, and if these things do not mark your life, you can mark it down this morning. I'm lost. I've never, ever been saved. They give us a description of what a true believer is like. And in this key verse this morning that we're going to deal with, it describes the appetite, not just the attitude, but the appetite that a child of God should have and a child of God will have. So I want to look at this verse and try to unpack it this morning under this thought of satisfying bread. And I want to begin by having you know with me the particulars. We know from experience, you don't have to have a sermon. We know from experience that everybody today is not satisfied. especially in the Baptist church today, everybody is not satisfied. We know that from living life. And this verse, though, makes it plain. Everybody then is not blessed, and everybody then is not filled, because notice the particulars of the verse. They and they only. Blessed are they. Not blessed are everyone. Not filled are everyone. No, here's the particular. This is an exclusive thing this morning. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they and they alone shall be filled. They and they alone shall be satisfied. Why do I say that? Because everyone isn't hungry and thirsting after righteousness, and everyone is not hungry and thirsting after true bread, the satisfying bread of heaven. Therefore, everyone this morning is not blessed. Everyone this morning is not filled there. The bread of this world, and this world itself promises a lot of stuff. And the bread of this world promises to satisfy. Only thing is, it cannot deliver on what it promises. Oh my, this morning. In fact, that's the reason back over in Isaiah. That's the reason for the prophet's question. When he says over there in Isaiah 55, he says, wherefore do you spend money? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why are you spending money for that which does not satisfy? Why are you spending money? Why are you pursuing? Why are you hungering for the things that do not bring satisfaction to your heart and your life? And oh my, I can say this morning, why do you keep on trying to look to the world and the things of the world, and time and time and time and time again, you're left high and dry? Oh my, the bread of the world cannot satisfy. But there is some satisfying bread that is available this morning, and the bread is ready. But as we think about the particulars here, it's not just that they and they only are blessed and satisfied. Notice there's a second particular here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's exclusive. It's pointed. It's particular. It's not blessed are they, happy are they that are hungering after the world or this or that. No, after righteousness. After righteousness. Now don't let the word scare you. Yes, the Bible. Yes, the Word of God does tell us that we're to do that which is righteous. Righteousness is something that you and I are to do. That's why over in 1 John 2:29, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Real simple. The person that doeth righteousness, the person that doeth consistently, has a lifestyle of doing that which is right before the eyes of God, is born of him. Righteousness is something that we are to do. In fact, in the next chapter, 1 John 3:7, he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever, you can stick your name there, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh my. You don't love your brother, you might as well forget saying you love God. Because if you truly love God, you'll love your brother. Oh my, righteousness is something that we're doing. In fact, in the next chapter, in this same sermon, in the next chapter, chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says, seek ye righteousness. So righteousness is something that we do. Oh my, but really, what is this right? He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. So just really, what is it that he's asking us to hunger for? Well, you can mark this down. It's not religious righteousness. How do I know? Same sermon, verse 20. He says this, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's not saying you need to hunger and thirst after the religious righteousness of the things of the world and the religions of the world. No, he's saying we're to hunger, we're to thirst after the righteousness of God. Now, sometimes in the Word of God, righteousness does speak of our salvation. It's a term that speaks of our salvation. That's why over in Isaiah 51, you don't have to turn. Isaiah 51, 5. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. He says, my salvation, my righteousness has gone forth. He tells us in Isaiah 61 that he saves us. He robes us in robes of righteousness. Righteousness sometimes speaks of our salvation itself. It also speaks of our standing before God. Standing right. Being right before God. And with God. That's why Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Listen. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He makes us righteous. He gives us his righteousness. That we can stand righteous before him. Sometimes righteousness speaks of our salvation. Sometimes it speaks of our standing. But we already have that in salvation. So when he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, we need to get what he's really saying we need to hunger for. We need to really get what he says we're to thirst for. And it's really, really simple. If you and I'll just let the Bible be the Bible. Righteousness is not just our salvation. Righteousness is not just our standing. Righteousness is our Savior. Righteousness is our Savior. In fact, his name is righteous. Righteous is one of his names, he says in Isaiah, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Oh my, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But ye are in him, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Or to be more precise, you know who righteousness is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So the verse, the sermon, really isn't complicated. In fact, let's simplify. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after Christ, for they shall be filled. Christ is saying today, there's satisfying bread. I'm the true bread. I'm wonder bread. I'm the bread sent down from heaven. And if you will but thirst after me, hunger after me, you shall be filled. That's the particulars of the verse. Hungering and thirsting after Christ this morning. Right quick though, there's a pursuit. There's a pursuit he calls for. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. And in these Beatitudes, the words our Lord uses are some of the most intense in all the Bible. When he says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. He's speaking of abject poverty. When he said, blessed are they that mourn, he's speaking of the sorrow that overwhelms a person who has lost a loved one Oh my, he uses these intense words. And when he comes to verse 6, and this beatitude about hungering and thirsting, he's using the most intense words that they are. The word here for hunger, it literally has the idea of starving for bread, starving for food, starving for something to eat. Oh man, several nights after camp meeting, we stopped with everybody else at Chick-fil-A. And a night or two, I was determined I wasn't going to eat a thing. And I did pretty good till a little bit after closing. Them guys had come out there and they was giving away free nuggets and free sandwiches. Some of you tightwads wish you'd have stopped now after I said that, don't you? I wasn't hungry. I hadn't even planned on eating. But everybody else was eating. So I figured I'd just eat too. That's not the word here. It's not about eating. I mean, you know how it is. And I don't know why is TV better with a bowl of popcorn and something to eat? But it just is. It just is. No, that's not the word here. It's a have to situation. I must have. I'm starving. Oh my, for bread. I'm starving for righteousness. The word he uses for thirst. It's got the thought of being parched. Think of your throat being on fire, burning because it's so dry. And your lips have cracked. And oh my, you'd virtually do anything just to get a drop. Much less to drink a drop of water. That's the words Jesus uses when he speaks of hunger and when he speaks of thirst in this text. Oh my. I mean, again, when I talk about just doing, eating or drinking just because somebody else is and you just want to fit in with everybody. No. This is a have to, a must have hunger, a must have thirst and desire this morning. The person that's hungering in this verse, they would stick their head in a trash can. They would dive into a dumpster. The person that is thirsty in this verse, they would drink out of a mud puddle. They would drink what would look like the foulest tainted water. Oh my! Because a thirst and a hunger is driving you. That's what Jesus is speaking of. He says, "Blessed are they that do hunger. They're starving and they're parched for righteousness." Oh my! But I'd have you note, we're not just talking about a momentary hunger pain. No, this pursuit is ongoing. Do is present active. It's constant. It's continuous. It's an ongoing hunger, an ongoing thirst for righteousness, for Christ, for the things of God. Oh my. Job said it this way: I have esteemed the words of his mouth. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food. Job was saying, I gotta have his words. I've gotta have his bread. Oh my. Is that your heart's desire this morning? Is that where you're living at? This morning, we're not talking about one meal and done, one drink and done. We're not talking about one service and done. No, an ongoing hunger, an ongoing thirst for righteousness, for Christ. Oh my! And you see, this pursuit that Christ speaks of, it takes precedence over every other pursuit in life. It takes priority over every other priority in life. In fact, it swallows up, if you please, all the other hungers and all the other thirsts that you and I have in our life. I'm talking about an intense hunger and intense thirst. And you know what? That's a sign of spiritual life. physically if you have no hunger, physically if you have no thirst. It might just be a pretty good chance you're dead. The folks up at McMahon's and over at Harrelson's and Paget King's, they don't have to feed that crowd laid out in the boxes. Spiritual hunger is a sign of life. Now, your car can be empty and the gas light can be on, but it's not hungering for gas. And I'm afraid there are a lot of Baptists that are just like cars. They look nice and clean and shiny on the outside, but they are empty and running on empty on the inside. The hunger and thirst that Christ is speaking of all night, it's a sign of life that you have spiritual life because you have a spiritual hunger this morning. Because you see, all God says without exception, all God says, He gives this hunger, He gives this thirst to. As newborn, Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Blair's had to take Nolan back to the nursery. Y'all didn't have to teach him how to hunger, did you, Clint? You didn't have to train him how to hunger? No, we don't have to teach babies how to hunger. You know how come they come hungry and thirsty? They're alive. And those that spiritually are alive will hunger and thirst after Christ this morning. It's a sign of life. It's a sign of health. Now you can get sick. You can get sick and because you're physically sick, not want anything to eat. You can get mentally sick. I know this from my mama when she dealt all those years with Alzheimer's. They forget they've eaten. Or they can eat a bite, two spoonfuls, and swear that they are full. A loss of appetite, a lack of appetite, often says, we're sick. And you can get so filled up on the bread of the world, to stay with our thought. You can't get so filled up on the junk bread of religion and the dainties of religion that you don't have a longing for good, satisfying, true bread sent from heaven. That's where that cry to Laodicea was. Christ says, you say you have need of nothing and you don't know how empty you are. Christ said you are wretched and you are miserable and you're blind and you're poor. Oh my. I'm talking this morning about a pursuit. And you know, several Sundays ago we meditated on shared bread. That boy off in the far country having to live out there at the hogs. Seeing them gnaw on those husks. Those cabid pods, coveting what they had. He was hungry, so hungry. He wished he had what the hogs had. But I will tell you, when he got past that, when he got to starving, when he really got to starving, oh my, he remembered that his father had bread and his father gave bread and his father shared bread and that bread was ready if he would but get back to the house. Oh my. There is a pursuit call for in this verse. David is an Old Testament example of this New Testament beatitude, this New Testament truth. Because David was ever panting, thirsting for water, pining and hungering for bread. Real simple this morning. The person that stayed home this morning, the person that decided to sleep in this morning, the person that decided to go fishing or golfing or wherever else this morning, they're not hungry. You get hungry. When I'm at the house and I get hungry, I'm going to the pantry. I'm going to the pantry. Oh my, there is a pursuit to this text. There's a paradox to this text. The very thing that satisfies us causes us to want more. The very thing that satisfies us makes us want to have more, makes us hungrier, and makes us thirstier. I know that's a paradox, and I know it doesn't make sense of the world, but that's your hat is. The more of Christ you have, the more of Christ you want. The more of Christ Paul knew, he said, oh, that I might know him. And I remind you, he says that after he's already been to heaven and saw things that are unlawful to write down. He says that I might have more. That I might have more of him. I'll tell you, the bread I got at camp meeting the last 2 weeks, my, how wonderful and satisfying it was. But I got up this morning wanting more bread. Oh my, there's an unsatisfied satisfaction. Not dissatisfaction, because his bread satisfies. But the more of him you have, the more of him you will want. And his bread satisfies again and again and again and again. Today, this morning, we have reason to be hungry. But we don't have any reason to go hungry. And a lot of reasons to be hungry this morning. But you don't have to go hungry this morning. The bread is ready. There's a path here. Right quick, there's a path here. And remember now, I'm not preaching to you tonight, so cut me some slack. There's a path here. How is it, don't miss it, how is it we acquire this hunger? How is it we maintain that? How is it that we stay spiritually healthy so that we want more and more of this bread of heaven, this true bread that satisfies? Well, there's a path here. These Beatitudes, remember, they build upon themselves. One leads to the other. Back up in verse 3, when you become poor in spirit, when you humble yourself before Christ, when you humble yourself before God, when you become poor in spirit, you'll begin to mourn over sin. You become poor in spirit, you begin to mourn over sin. You'll become meek. And the next thing you know, you're hungry. You're thirsty. And the more poor in spirit, the more mourning over sin you and I do, the hungrier we get. The meeker we become, the hungrier, the thirstier we become. These Beatitudes lead, and they lead us to a hunger and a thirst for that which satisfies the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, my, 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 my. And the more of these that are present in our life, the more of him we want, the more we hunger, the more we thirst. You can mark this down this morning. The spiritually humble person will be a spiritually hungry person. That crowd of Laodicea was filled full of pride. They didn't think they needed anything. They weren't hungering after Christ. The spiritually humble, poor in spirit, mourning over sin and meek, you become a spiritually humble person. You'll become a spiritually hungry person. See, you don't sit down at the table and go to criticizing the tablecloth and complaining about the place setting if you're hungry. If you're hungry, you don't care whether there's a tablecloth or not. You spiritually hungry. You don't complain about the shavings at camp meeting or the benches at camp meeting or the bathrooms at camp meeting or how long it takes you to get to camp meeting. No, if you're hungry, you're interested in some bread. If you're spiritually hungry, you don't complain about how many songs the choir sings or which songs the choir sings. Amen. You're not complaining about the sermon. It's too long. It's too short. I know that never happens, but you don't complain. It's too soft. It's too loud. No, no, no. If you are spiritually hungry, you want some bread. You want some bread. You want some bread. And the way to be hungry and to hunger for righteousness, oh my, is to follow this path. I close with this. There's the promise of this text. There's the promise of this satisfying bread. Christ promises, not the preacher. Christ promises that the person that hungers and thirsts, Christ promises, number one, they'll be blessed. The word means happy. The word means happy. Oh my, it speaks of a peace of heart. A peace of heart that steadies you in spite of whatever circumstance you find yourself in. It speaks of a peace that circumstances cannot take. You want to know what happiness looks like? It's in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. And the ones that were rejoicing and were glad, they're the very ones in verse 11 that are being reviled and are being persecuted. Jesus promises, if you will but hunger and thirst after me, if you will but hunger and thirst after righteousness, he says, you'll be blessed. I will bless you. There will be a happiness that comes to your heart and a happiness that comes to your soul. Hear me this morning. Real happiness is only found in God. Real happiness is only found not in a new house, not in a new car, not in a new job, not in some new relationship, not in some new trinket, no, but in a new life, in the life, in the bread of life, the life of Christ himself. Here's the promise. Blessed. Number two, filled. They shall be filled. It means stuffed full. Fullness. Satisfied is the literal idea. There is satisfying bread. There is filling bread. Satisfying bread this morning. And this is his promise. And he keeps his promises. Now the devil, who I remind you is a liar and the father of lies, will tell you that if you trust Christ, if you hunger and thirst for Christ, that you'll have to give up all the other things of life that are so wonderful, that you'll lose out on all the things of life that are wonderful. That's what the devil says. But can I remind you of Christ, who is truth, who is truth, who is truth? He promises to bless and add to your life all those things which bring meaning to life. You don't have to take my word for it. The very next chapter, very, very, very same sermon. Chapter 6, verse 31, take ye no thought. Therefore take ye no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Christ said, you don't have to be fretting over all that. He says, do this. Seek ye first, there's the pursuit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. The word filled, 6:5. The word added, rather 5:6, excuse me, and 6:33, added. Those words are in the passive. That means somebody else does it for you. That means someone else fills your life. That means someone else adds to your life that which gives meaning. And someone else adds to your life and provides you with the very needs of life. That is the promise. To they and they alone, not good English, but good Bible, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're standing, Brother Brian. You come, they'll come to the instruments. This promise this morning can be yours. True bread has been sent down from heaven. If you but come to Him, if you but eat of Him this morning, you can be saved. You can be satisfied. You can be blessed. You can be filled. Because this is His promise. Why is all that so? Because the bread is ready. And the bread is available. And if you but come unto Him and eat, you can have life, you can have abundant life, you can have blessedness, you can have filling. All because of Him. Father, in these moments, I pray for a hunger to swell up. In these moments, I pray for a thirst to bring folks to You. Your honor and Your glory, in Your name we pray. Amen and amen, Brother Brian.
Number 413, break down the bread. Break Thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as Thou didst break the loaves beside the sea.
You say, I don't know if He's interested in me. Are you hungry? Then He is. You say, I don't know if He'd do that. Are you thirsty? He will. He will. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, that's your invitation. Come to Him. Come to Him. Come to Him.
Break Thou the bread of
God, you know every heart.
Oh, God, you know everything. To me, that hid within my heart Thy word may be. Mold Thou each inward thought from self set free, and let my steps be all controlled by Thee.
I think I mentioned it several weeks ago, but it's going through my mind. Because I could hear Brother Wade telling it. I love it. You know, there's Mama fixing those big old cat head biscuits, and he'd go off to school with those biscuits. Some of them other boys, you know, they'd have some of that store-bought bread. Oh, my. Sometimes they'd try to enter into a trade. I want to tell you this morning, you ought not swap off the true bread of heaven. You ought not swap off a biscuit from heaven from some store-bought religious light bread that the Lord has for you. If you will but hunger and thirst for Him. Come unto me, He says, eat of me. Say, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. Sing one more verse. We'll be done.
Open Thy word of truth that I may see Thy message written clear and plain for me. Then in sweet fellowship walking with Thee, engraved will be.
The bread's ready. You know, they brought out, we took Brother Joe out the other night. They set two big old baskets of hot rolls. At first, I wasn't going to eat any. But they got to smelling good and looking good. And they sure did taste good. All because I ate. Smelling at them, looking at them, wasn't a help of me a thing. But they sure enough were good when I went to eating. The bread is ready. You ought to partake.